He's here to meet our needs this morning.
Amen.
I'm glad for that. You got to work for the Lord, you help yourself now. Help yourself this morning. We come to get in, not to get out. All right. Well, we look around this morning. We missing faces. We got people that's sick. We know that. With Tom and Betty and Jim White, Lindsay, Jim, Lori. I look around. There's a lot of people that's always here that's sick this morning. And people have needs. You know, there's nothing we can't do much for people's needs, but the Lord can. Some people I expected to be here today did not come, and their greatest need is Jesus. Spoke with them this week and was hoping they would be here. The greatest need anyone has is Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it seems like the further we go, I don't know if their hearts are harder or their heads are harder. It's just no concern. Seems like there's no concern of time. There's no concern of eternity. I don't know of any home that is not plagued with some kind of disease of some sort. Most every home has got cancer in it, either has had or having it now or waiting to see if they do. Just all kinds of things going on like that. But yeah, there's no urgency. There's no urgency of eternity. There's no urgency of people's souls. There's no truth. It seems like, or we shouldn't say there's no truth. There's always truth with Christ, but there's not much truth being spread. People's got so many weird ideas. You know, weird ideas that beliefs. I don't know where they get the beliefs. Sometimes it make more sense if you read the back of a cereal box than what people believe. They don't get it out of the Bible. They're so wrapped up in heresy. So wrapped up in old wise tales and where they get some things is beyond me. No one goes to hell anymore from when you hear people talk, when people die. Matters not what kind of life they live. It don't matter what they did, they could be as wicked as could be. And when they pass, everybody puts them into heaven.
Right.
I mean, it's rare. It's rare that anybody would even say under their breath, they was probably lost because... And I understand we're not judges. I understand that. It's not for us to judge. But can I tell you, I don't want no doubt. When I die, I don't want nobody to question it. I want to live the way I'm supposed to live. But I want to have the testimony that I'm a redeemed child of God. And you need that same testimony. You need the truth is what you need. I seen a lot of people yesterday. I visited a service yesterday and seen a lot of people that have been praying for, got to talk to some that just need the Lord and talk to one who knows he needs the Lord. Used to work with Paul Sears. I've known him, I don't remember not knowing him, about my age, known him all my life. Now he's got cancer. He moved from Winona to found out where he lives here right below Somersville. And I'll be seeing him this week. Found out where he moved to. But there's no urgency. I tried to talk to him about his soul, and there's no urgency about it. He said, "You know, I've got cancer." "Yes, that's what I know. I heard you had cancer." He said, "I said, well, what about the Lord? What are we going to do?" Just shake his head. Nothing. Talked with a man yesterday who was informing me about someone who had cancer. And that he had visited him, talked to him just this past week. And he asked me, he said, "Let me ask you a question." He said, "Are you a saved man?" He said, "Almost." That was his answer, "Almost." It's like almost being pregnant. I mean, you know, it don't work. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, it don't work that way. Now, I understand it's a little crude, but that's just, everybody understood it, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't almost. You either are or you ain't.
Amen.
Think about that. I'm wondering today, are you saved?
Yeah.
Are you a saved man? Are you a saved woman today? Are you a saved young person? Do you know that? Do you know that for a fact? Well, we're going to see. We're going to see. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. We'll look at a few things this morning. We're just going to look at some truth this morning. I marvel that so many are naive about salvation, naive about heaven. There may be some things that may offend you this morning. We're not wanting to offend no one. But if you have some foolish beliefs, they may come out today. We're not trying to... We didn't make a list of foolish beliefs, but we just want you to understand some things. This is not a game. Church is not a game. Salvation is not a game. This is real. The Bible's true. And whether people believe it or not does not change it. Truth stands for itself. And whether you believe truth or not, truth is true.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's just the truth. That's the truth. There's people that's in high places that I'm praying for, that I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the President of the United States. Very concerned. I believe him to be a lost man. I believe him to be a lost man. I believe if you think that making peace with other countries gets you to heaven, I believe if that's what you're trusting, then you're trusting the wrong thing. You're lost.
Amen.
If you're trusting anything other than Jesus Christ, if you're trusting anybody other than Jesus Christ, if you're trusting anything other than the shed blood of Christ to being applied to your life, then you're lost. It's Jesus alone. It's Christ plus nothing. All right, you think about that. I want you to understand that. Let's pray together, and we'll look at some scripture, and we'll ask some questions as we go. Father, we come today. You're so wonderful to us. There's no doubt about that. It's done being said. Sammy said it's so plain. Why in the world are you so good to us? She said her, but Lord, it's us as well. Lord, I don't understand. Cheryl Ann sung it this morning about the greatest story. They sung it a while ago. Lord, I believe. I believe in a place called heaven. I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe that you died for me. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you live in my heart. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to help me today to preach, to give the simple word. Lord, may you speak to every heart. May we examine ourselves. I pray for those watching live stream, those who'll listen later, even on the website. Lord, I pray that hearts will be tendered and drawn unto you, that they'll cry out unto you, what must I do to be saved? That they'll call on you to save them, I pray. In Jesus' name, and amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 13. And instead of reading the whole passage, I'm going to read a few verses and then give you some thoughts just on the scripture, okay? Jesus is the one preaching here, and we don't have a title this morning. You can title it anything I suppose you'd want to. Truth would be what I would just title. We're going to tell you the truth this morning, and the thoughts of men and women, boys and girls, and the thoughts of teaching everywhere, they try to find other gospels. They try to find other beliefs. And Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We start out with just a simple statement of truth this morning. A statement of truth. That's what Jesus says here. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There is two ways and only two ways when it comes to eternity. There's only two. There's a straight gate that leads to life everlasting. There's a broad gate that leads to destruction. The straight gate is Jesus Christ. The broad gate is without Jesus Christ. Very simple. Very simple. But when we look at this being two ways, I want you to understand that the thing that I find the biggest truth here, this statement of truth, that's a choice. And you this morning will make a choice. Everybody in this room this morning, everybody in this sanctuary, everybody listening on live stream, you'll make a choice. You'll either affirm that you're saved or you'll make a choice to be saved. You'll either affirm that you're lost and make a choice to be saved, or you'll make a choice to stay lost, to reject Jesus Christ. But you will not go without something today. That's just a statement of truth. And if Jesus is giving this message, he's saying, my advice to you, the truth is, you need to enter in at the straight gate. You need to enter in. It is a narrow way. It's so narrow that it's wrapped up in one. And that is Jesus Christ. Now I want you to understand that the gospel is that Jesus died according to the scriptures. That he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And there's no other gospel. There's not a gospel of works for some and the gospel of Jesus for others. There's only one gospel, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's still by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot be good enough. You cannot do enough. You have to go by the grace of God. You have to go by faith believing. And that's across the board for everybody. It don't matter who you are. There's only one salvation. Is enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The scripture tells me that there's more going to go to destruction than they are going to go to life everlasting. Why? Because they refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe everything. They believe everything coming down the pipe. They even believe foolishness about heaven. Foolishness about... Now listen, I love animals. I like certain animals better. I love deer, and I like them better when they're dead and in my freezer. I like squirrels. I like them better dead when they're in a pot with gravy. All right. I like dogs. All right. But can I tell you, everybody look at me. I'm sorry, animals don't go to heaven. Can I tell you that? And if you die, you're not going to be reunited with your dog or your cat or your cow or your monkey or anything else. You're not going to be reunited there. I'm sorry to tell you that. That is a foolish belief. That's a naive belief. Okay. It just don't happen. Now, I hate to tell you that if you got loved ones that's died and went on, I'm glad that they've died and went on to be with Jesus. I'm glad they're with the Lord. I'm tickled. I mean, that if they passed, I'm glad they're with the Lord. But they're not an angel. They didn't turn into an angel, and they're not singing in an angelic choir.
Amen, preacher.
Just want you to go. I want you to know that. I'm not trying to burst your bubble and try to discourage you. I just want you to know we will give you some simple truth.
Amen.
All right, a statement of truth this morning. There's one way you're going to go to be with Jesus, to go to be with God. There's one way. It's a straight gate. It's a narrow way. It's Jesus and Him. It's so narrow that it's one way.
That's right.
That's how narrow it is. It's so narrow, it's as narrow as the cross of Christ.
Amen.
That's how narrow it is. However wide that cross was that Christ died on, that's how narrow it gets.
Right.
All
right? That's right.
It's only by grace. Because no one deserves it. You can't do enough to deserve it. Your family don't deserve it. You don't have enough money that makes you likable enough or to achieve enough or your hair. It don't matter. That don't matter. You don't deserve it. It's grace that's giving you what you don't deserve. And it's by faith you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to believe. We can't believe it for you. You got to believe it yourself. You're going to have to put your hands around it and believe it yourself to be saved.
Amen.
That God put on a robe of flesh and come down to this earth and showed you perfection, showed me perfection as He lived the life He lived. He showed you everything that He could show you. He loved you. He died for you. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended into the Father. He promised that He would come again. And you're going to have to believe that and that alone. If you ever hope to be in heaven. It's that simple. That is a statement of truth this morning. A simple statement of truth. Now, it's for everybody. It's not for a select few. It's for everybody. He paid a ransom for every man. It's not God's will that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, there are people that believe foolishness, and they believe that it's for a select few, and they believe that some are born to go to heaven, some are born to go to hell. Well, let me tell you where that teaching comes from. It comes from the devil. So if you believe that, you're believing what the devil teaches you. Let's go ahead. We don't want no misunderstanding. All right? Because it's for whosoever will. Let him come. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4.
Yes, come
on. One verse can explain the whole thing. One verse, this one verse explains it all. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. It says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe."
Amen.
He's the Savior of all men. He's the Savior for any man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever been. Especially with those that will believe it. There's nobody left out. Is that plain enough? Everybody understand that? He's the Savior of all men, especially those that will believe it. But nobody's left out. There's a Savior available for everybody. And it's in that straight gate.
Right.
It's in that narrow way as Jesus Christ this morning. Does everybody understand that? And you're going to have to choose. Now, there are people that don't believe that. There are people that don't preach that. There are people that don't teach that. And I am not going to be sensitive to their belief. All right? I'm not going to say it's okay. You believe what you want. Now, I am going to tell you, you can believe what you want. You know, I seen a video the other day. I thought it was very, very good. Let me just show you how people are. A policeman pulled a man over and he asked him for his license and he handed him his leash.
Yeah.
And the policeman said, "What is this?" He said, "I identify as a cat." And he said, "This is my leash. It has my name on it." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." He looked in and the other fellow was over there. He said, "Well, what about your homosexual friend there?" And he said, "Well, how do you know that?" He said, "Well, I just took it for granted. That's what the way y'all look. That's the way I took it." He said, "Well, no, I'm his owner." And the policeman said, "So you just identify a cat and you're his owner?" He said, "And you're not going to give me your license?" But yeah, he said, "Well, here's what I'm going to do then." He said, "I'm going to call the dog catcher. And we're going to take you to the dog pound. And they'll probably spay and neuter you. And then we'll see about adoption for you. And then I'm going to call a psychiatrist and have him come to you because of you owning a person as a dog, and I don't know that that's legal, and it's not legal for a cat to drive a car, So we're all going. Now, you say, why are you saying that? Well, you can believe what you want to believe is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, come on.
But I'm not going to be sensitive to it.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to get. Everybody get the point? Everybody get that? Now, there's people that have all kinds of different beliefs about salvation and everything else. But can I tell what the Bible says? Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I'm not going to be sensitive to the needs of false doctrine and say it's okay. It's not okay. There's one truth this morning, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ is all you need. That's who you need. And you must have Jesus Christ this morning. You must have. That's the gospel, that Jesus died according to the scripture. That he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's the gospel this morning. That's the gospel. So that's the statement of truth. Back to Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye in at the gate, at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat, which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware, it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And we need to be careful. Now we look at a statement of truth. Now I want you to think about the seduction of truth. We've done mentioned some of that already. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. But every tree that bringeth not good fruit, forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. There is a seduction of truth into believing so many ways, so many things. The world's gospel is be good. That's the world's gospel. Be good. Everybody ought to be good. You need to be good. Well, anybody that don't agree that you ought to be good is bad. Because you ought to be good. But that has nothing to do with salvation. Everybody ought to be good. We tell our kids, be good. We tell our animals, be good. Correct? But that don't have nothing to do with getting them to heaven. All right, but the gospel is perverted by false prophets, by those who wrap themselves in sheep's clothing, who come to you sincere, who come to you not wanting to offend, who come to you to seduce you. Now, all seduction is not sexuality. Seduction can be to anything that is deceiving.
That's right.
Okay? Everybody follow me? And there is a seduction of truth. We have it in the Catholic Church. We have it in Jehovah's Witness Church. We have it in the Mormon Church. All right? That's all seduction. We have it in the Church of Christ Church.
Yes.
We have it in, because they add baptism. Everybody listen to me. You don't add baptism and Jesus, or Jesus and baptism. You don't add Jesus and good works. You don't add Jesus and church membership. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. The seduction of truth wants you to intermingle all these things and have something added to take away from Christ. Let me tell you, you can't take away from Christ.
Amen.
It's Him. It's Him alone. Does everybody understand? I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm not trying to be mean. I've talked to so many people this week that are confused about salvation and about being saved and about so many other ways. And they tell me, say, well, I don't necessarily believe your way. I don't think it's that way. Well, it says there ain't but one way. And that's the way of Christ. There's not but one gate to go through. There's not but one. You understand? We're talking about getting to God. Everybody understand? I'm not talking about the Baptist way this morning. I'm talking about the Bible way. Now, I'm a Baptist. I'm not ashamed I'm a Baptist. And I won't back up from being that. But that has nothing to do with me going to heaven.
Amen.
Nothing. It's Jesus Christ. It's Him and Him alone. And I'm going to ask you, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Have you met Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Has He come into your life? Do you know Him?
Yes.
Has He changed? Do you remember when the change came?
Yes.
There's so many that there's no change ever come. There's so many that don't even understand that concept. Here it talks about those who would seduce you into a lie. That they come as sheep's clothing, but inward they are ravening wolves. And you shall know them by their fruits, knowing by what comes out of them.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the extreme of the people like Jim Jones that drunk all them people drunk all the Kool-Aid. You know, years ago down in Texas, I mean, we all go back and remember that. And you say, well, how can anybody do that? But yet there's people that believe that you can go to a man and have your sins absolved. That you can go into a little phone booth and confess your sins to a man wearing a dress in a phone booth and everything's okay. It don't work that way. I'm sorry.
Amen, preacher.
That's seduction of truth.
Amen.
But for somebody to tell you that if you'll just be good, that you can be good enough, that's more cruel than these other things.
Yeah.
That if you think your works, listen, there's people that go to church and say they trust Jesus, but they're depending on their works to go to heaven. There's people in this sanctuary this morning that believe that very thing.
That's right.
You believe on Jesus Christ. You believe that He died and rose again. You believe that. But you also believe that you got to do right or you'll not make it. Well, you better see who you're trusting, you or Jesus. Because if you're trusting what you're going to do to get there, you're not going.
Amen.
Do you understand that? And we're not being cruel. We're just telling you there's a seduction of truth. People believe that they can be saved and lost. Well, I'm not going to argue nobody. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. All right? The Bible says, he that believeth hath everlasting life. I don't have to say nothing else. What the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's what the Bible says. We all right? I'm glad I got a couple three amens in the Baptist church. That's really depressing. Really discouraging. I'm serious. That's really discouraging. Everybody in here, it says truly saved. Should it's all that's what the Bible said. So I say, I don't ever know who I'm preaching to. I never know whether you believe what I'm preaching or not.
Come on now.
There's one gospel, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one way of salvation, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one way that He saves you, and that's by grace. And there's one thing that He gives you, and that's eternal life. And if you don't believe it, that's okay. But it's still true. It's still true. The statement of faith and the statement of truth and the seduction of truth. And we're being seduced all the time. That's why I said a while ago, nobody goes to hell. Don't matter. It don't matter if you're a whoremonger, a drunkard. Don't matter. That's what the world says. You know, I marvel at, and I'm not criticizing nobody. I'm just telling you what I marvel at. I marvel at people who's been married 33 times and drink like a fish and run naked on the TV. And then when they die, boy, I'm glad, I tell you, they're up there in heaven. I ain't never heard none of them movie stars go to hell. I ain't never heard none of that rock and roll bunch that sings Highway to Hell, strung out on drugs.
Come on.
Died in choking on their own puke.
Yeah.
None of them ever go to hell. And then somebody will make a wise crack about somebody getting saved in jail.
That's right. Yeah.
I marvel at the seduction of truth.
Huh?
I'm just talking about it simple this morning. We okay? We okay? We're not mad at nobody. I tell you, broken heart. I've talked to friends this week, dear friends that I've witnessed to for 40 years, 40 some years, that I've preached to for 40 years, friends that I have preached to for 40 years, lost. Urgency about their soul. 40 years. So we just look at this morning. We still okay? Statement of truth, a seduction of truth. That's sheep's clothing. Better be careful. False prophets wear sheep's clothing, but they're ravening wolves. You can tell them if you'll listen. If they brag on man, you better be careful. Better be careful. We okay? Your TV preachers, your Kenneth Copelands and your Joyce Myers, that if you get in their teaching that they're little gods.
That's right.
Huh? That they're little gods. You know what that says immediately? That they're false prophets. Your Crislow Dollars and your Benny Hens and all them, and they all make this statement that you can be a little God. And well, no, that's all seduction of the truth. Yeah, but they're popular. Well, I'm just telling you. I'm not popular. I'm just well known. There's the difference. There's the difference. Everybody knows me, but I'm not very popular. Huh? All right. So let's look at something else. Let's look at the seriousness of truth. The statement of truth. Everybody with me? The statement of truth and the seduction of truth. Let's look at the seriousness of truth. Let's look at verse 21. Everybody with me? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, when it comes down to the statement of truth, I have no trouble understanding Jesus making a simple statement. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate and broad is the way. Everybody understand that? Ain't that so simple? The statement of truth. Then the seduction of truth, that we ought to be careful of the false prophets and those who will teach contrary to what Jesus taught. I have no trouble with that. But now the seriousness of the truth is that everybody that says they're saved ain't saved.
Amen.
Now we've seen that evident here in the church many, many times. When you that have said you was a Christian, but you was nothing more than just a church member.
Right.
Huh? It's not been long that we just baptized some.
Yep.
This here a few weeks ago. Now, I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. No, no, no. I want you to be assured. The Bible says, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, examine yourself to see whether or not you be in the faith. You need to look at yourself. See, this thing is closing in. We're closing down on this thing and time's running out. And people are perishing. And there's no age limit on death. There's no age limit on cancer. Man, here in the last 6 months, we've had babies had cancer, teenagers had cancer. Who was it just the other day? Was it here or was it at another church? Maybe I don't even remember now. I think it was here. A 14-year-old girl, 13-year-old girl. I've never heard of a 13-year-old girl having breast cancer. I've never heard of that. Have y'all ever heard of that happening? I mean, that's so uncommon. But yet that was one of the prayer requests. Was it here? 13-year-old girl has breast. Wait a minute. That's just for old people. That's for people in their 50s. Right? That's just for, you know, you've done. No. It's coming to everybody. Death comes. You know, you don't have to be old to have a disease. You don't have to be old to die. Listen, I've helped carry the casket in my own hands. That wasn't as wide as this pulpit. They die when they're little. Huh? I've done told you more than once about the 12-year-old that was murdered. Didn't just die, but a 12-year-old murdered. And I had the funeral. Well, wait a minute. We're in West Virginia. Hey, that's Nicholas County, West Virginia. I'm talking about here. I've only pastored in this county.
Right.
And a 12-year-old murdered. One of my kids, one of my Bible school kids, come forward on invitation and I led him to the Lord and it wasn't just a couple months that he was in eternity.
Right.
Murdered by a high school principal. But we don't think nothing of it. We just go on through life and, it's the big things on the news. Me and Boy was talking about. We was talking about in the prayer room about the feller from another country come in. They give him a driver's license, and he can't read English. Don't even know what the signs say. And it's a big thing in Florida where he's driving a tractor trailer and he makes a U turn right in the middle of the road and kills three people.
Right.
You don't know when you're going to make it from Walmart.
That's right.
You don't know.
Right.
You don't know when somebody's going to come in and shoot up the place.
Right.
You don't know when somebody's going to come in and come in the church. I mean, look at all the times they've come in the last few years. They've come into the sanctuary where everybody was praising the Lord and to shoot the place up. You better make sure you're saved this morning. Better make sure your kids are saved. You better get your kids and get them right in their face and look them in the eyeball and make sure that they're safe today. Don't wait till next year. We'll do it today. You say, well, What? Well, what if you offend them? What if you offend them?
That's
right. So what?
Amen, preacher.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
How in the world would I be wonder why people ain't concerned over the soul when the church ain't even concerned over the soul?
Amen.
We can't even get moms and dads concerned over their children. Man, if I thought my boys was lost.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm just showing you. I've got them by right in front of you. I've got them by the shirt collar, jerk them up in church, and how are you saved?
Yeah.
During the preaching.
Right.
I asked my grandchildren. I just asked Hannah and Landon just the other day. You say you sure you're saved? Well, yeah, Papa. I want to make sure. Are you sure?
Yeah.
I asked Levi and Michael. I asked him, Wesley, not saved. Got a grandson down there ain't saved.
Yeah.
He's studying about it, but he ain't saved.
Right.
Livia coming up, she's going to be 3 years old, or maybe she already is 3 years old. I mean, she'll be 4 years old come November. My Lordy. Right now, I understand she's safe. I understand that. I believe that. I believe she's safe with all my heart. But wait a minute. She's learning. And when do they get lost? When do they understand that? When they understand right and wrong.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, sir.
Well, it concerns me. It concerns me. Does it concern you? See, I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of churches. If Jesus would come, they're going to be still sitting in the pew.
Yes.
Because it's going to be not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What are you banking on?
Right.
I said it here the other Sunday, and I'm not trying to embarrass him or bring anything, but it was his own testimony. Frank back here. I've known Frank for 45 years, however long it's been my neighbor for 28 years, 27 years, huh? Known him for years and years. Pastored a church over at Mount Lookout. His name was on the membership book. Started coming to church here. He started coming to church, but he could come to church after a little while. He walks up aisle and said, I need saved.
Yeah.
He said, I looked and went back and found a picture of me being baptized. He said, and all I had was a picture.
Right.
I didn't have nothing in my heart. All I had was a picture of a baptizing. I'm afraid that's all some of you's got is a little paper or a little Bible school certificate or a little paper that somebody handed you and said, you're okay. I look back here at Butler, and he's told it, and I've told it. Mike Long's told it. He come to revival meeting, and Mike Long says, you need to get this settled. I said, I asked Mommy. Mommy said I was all right. Well, this is a grown man. He wasn't a kid. He was a grown man. Said, Ma, I asked Mommy. Mommy said I was saved when I was little. And Mike Long told him. What did he tell you, Butler? He said, well, we need to look and see what Jesus said, not what Mommy says.
Amen.
That what he told you? That was the night you got saved. That was that Tuesday night you got saved. Can I tell you, some that's all we've got. Listen, do you have Christ? I'm asking you that. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Huh? I met Christ. I met Him May the 27th, 1973. I know when I met Him. I know when He came in my life. I've never been what I'm supposed to be. No, I've been all over the place, but I know and I know and I know and I know that Jesus lives in my heart.
Amen.
I know that.
Amen.
I know that.
Amen.
Man, don't look at my past. I've got a past like everybody else. I went this way and went that way. I slid all over the rock, but thank God I'm still on the rock.
Yeah,
I'm not saying here I'm perfect. I ain't know what I'm saying. I'm saying I got Christ.
Amen.
And I'm asking you this morning, listen, I talked to my friends. I talked to the people. I talked to your people. Oh, if I would tell you what your people are telling me, I don't know how you would react. I talked to a preacher here a few years ago, and he came to me, and he was a little upset. He said, I heard you talk to my son. I said, yeah. He said, well, I heard he told you he was lost. I said, yeah, he's lost. And he said, well, I don't believe that. Wait a minute. It don't matter what he believed. The man said himself he was lost. Are you listening to me? And this ain't no game this morning. And the seriousness of the truth. The seriousness of the truth. Huh? You can't live in sin forever and be a Christian. When you get saved, there's a change. Can you get sideways? Absolutely. But there will be a change.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be a change. There'll be a change.
Yes.
Huh? We still okay? That's the statement of truth, the seduction of truth, the seriousness of truth. See, truth separates. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. There's a separation with this truth. Huh? That's how serious it is. Heaven and hell. Heaven and hell. People go to hell.
Yeah.
People go to hell.
Uh-huh.
You know why they go to hell? They don't go to hell because they're bad. They go to hell because they won't believe on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's people in heaven. They sung that song a while ago. I didn't get to see mommy go to heaven. I just had to turn out of the room and went in the next room. They was bathing mommy, Trista and Mooney and him. They was in there with mommy. Mommy's laying there in that bed. They got her all cleaned up. She'd come home and she come home to die. That's why she come home. She come home and they got her all lotioned up. And right after you got her lotioned up, she just eased off. And that would be right because she wouldn't want to go nowhere dirty anyway. That was my mom. Okay? But I just had left the room and was standing outside, went in there, was getting ready to sit down in the living room because I didn't want to be in there, of course, for days to bathe the mama. And Mooney said, "Oh no, she's gone." And we run in there. And can I tell you, I know there's a heaven.
Oh yeah.
I know there's a heaven. Well, I read about it in the Bible. Huh? I know the Bible's true, and the Bible tells me there's a heaven.
Yes.
But man, I've seen him go. I don't even know the man's name. I never found out. I don't even know why I didn't find out. I was in a Fairleigh hospital. Oh, this has been 38 years ago, 35 years. I don't remember how long ago it's been now. It's been 40 years ago, however long it's been. And I was visiting a woman in a hospital, and they come over to intercom, And I thought it odd. They said, "Preacher, are you still in there?" Yeah. And they said, "We need you in the emergency room." I said, "Okay." So I went run down to the emergency room up Fairleigh Hospital. Around there, and there was a man. He was just all bent out of shape in the bed, trying to breathe and everything. And the family, somebody said they need a preacher in there to pray for this man. I said, "Okay." So I went there. I grabbed him by the hand, and he looked up at me. And I said, "Do you know Jesus?" And he smiled. And I said, "Well, let's pray." And I asked God just to calm him down. Well, he just calmed down. And I said, "Are you sure you know Jesus? If you do, squeeze my hand." He squeezed my hand. And then when he let go, he went to see Jesus. But he was happy when he went. He wasn't all nervous and all tore up. It was a change, boy. When he went from this life to the next. I'm just wanting you to know it's real. It's real. Some of y'all I know has been there and seen it and experienced it. This ain't no dream. This ain't no story. Huh? This ain't no story. This is truth. And truth separates. Are you saved this morning? Are you truly saved, born again? Huh? Are you this morning? Huh? Let me give you another. We're about done here. You see, the statement of truth, the seduction of truth, the seriousness of truth. How about the security of truth?
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, I like that therefore. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house. And look what it says. And it fell not.
Amen.
For it was found upon a rock. Can I tell you that not only do I find a statement of truth, I find a seduction of truth, I find the seriousness of truth, but I find the security of truth when you've believed on the Lord, when you've done what it says, when you've called on Him, when you know that you're saved, you're founded on a rock, and let the storm come if they want to.
Amen.
Let it come. Let the wind blow. Let the rain beat. Let the lightning flash and the thunder roll. Can I tell you that it'll be well with your soul and it's secure in Christ Jesus this morning. Don't get no better than that, man. For it's founded on a rock.
Amen, amen.
Man, I'm glad on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Huh? Ain't that wonderful? Huh? The security of truth. Huh? That's why we can sing. That's why when we sing, when we see Christ, it gets good in here. You know, sing an old song, "Till the storm passes by." Let her go on by. Let her go on by. It's all right. I'm that little dove. Y'all know the story. I tell you again. Some of you may not know it. They had this artist want him to paint a picture of peace. He was a great artist. They said, paint a picture of peace. And they didn't have no idea. So he went to his gallery there where he's painted. He painted. And when he came out, he had that painting. And what it was the most horrific storm, black clouds, big waves blowing up on a bank there on the cliffs and the lightning and everything. And the picture is zoomed in to there in a little tiny place in a rock. It was a couple doves sitting there.
Yeah.
They was as peace as they could be. The storm was rolling everywhere they wanted to roll, but they was safe as they could be, safe in the rock. Can I tell you this morning, to know the truth and to believe the truth and have the truth in your heart, can I tell you, it'll secure you that you don't have no frets. You don't have no frets but that this morning. I like that security of the truth. Let me give you another now. Let me give you the seriousness of the truth, the security of the truth. How about the sadness of the truth? Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. That's sad. See, it says, now let's read that again, verse 26. Everybody listening to me this morning? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not.
Yeah.
You hear it. You're being told. But you ain't doing it. Shall be likened unto a foolish man. And the house fell, and great was the fall of it. I'm here to tell you that's sad. I believe it's some saddest words is depart from me, I never knew. I believe them are sad words. But to watch the house fall, to watch a family go to hell, to watch a dad go to hell, a mommy go to hell, to watch children go to hell.
Yeah.
It's hard to lose a loved one. I don't care who it is. So when somebody passes, it's hard. I don't care how much you prepare, you ain't prepared. I don't care how much you say it's okay, it ain't okay. I don't care how much you say you understand, you don't understand. It's tough. It's tough. Can I tell you, ain't no tough if you don't know where they're at. When you look down, when I looked down at Daddy and Mama, when I looked down at them in the casket, I didn't have to fret.
That's
right. And I looked down at loved ones, I didn't have to fret. I'll see you. I'll see you. I've got to say that to many a friend. Many a loved one. Yeah. Yeah. I loved old Daryl. I miss Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
Love old Tommy, Charlie, Paul. We said goodbye to a lot of them, maybe.
Yeah.
Katie, we've said goodbye to so many here in the last little while. Look down. I didn't have to walk away. I said, man. Walk away. I said, yeah. You beat me. But I'm coming. I'm coming.
Absolutely.
I told Daryl up there in the hospital. I said, Daryl, things look tough. Just tell him we're coming.
Yeah.
Come here. When you get there, we're coming. You hearing me? The boy would be sad to look down on you. Be sad. I don't want no more little kids grabbing my leg and saying, preacher, please tell me daddy ain't in hell.
Right.
Preacher, please tell me. Please tell me. I don't want that no more. Huh? This thing's real this morning.
Yeah.
And I just give you some truth. Cheryl, go to piano. I've just tried to give you some truth this morning. My heart's been broken this week. The people that I've talked to and maybe the message ain't done much at all. But I want to ask you this morning, won't you look at me? Are you saved? I mean, just flat out, are you saved? I mean, ain't no doubt, are you saved? Are you plumb saved this morning? I mean, just plumb saved. If you don't know you're saved, won't you come on? Come on, get saved this morning. You say, preacher, what do I do? I'll do it. You tell me. Just come on out of your seat. Come believing on Jesus Christ. Come believing, yes, I'm putting everything I got in Jesus Christ. God, you saved me for Christ's sake. Forgive me. I don't care how you word it. Just come placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Festive, you get over here at the Bible. Rick, boys, you be ready. Some of you be ready at the Bible. I'm going to ask you, are you saved? Look at me this morning. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you sure you're saved? Man, I don't want you to go out of here not saved. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in therein. For straight is the gate that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. My. And there will be a day when they will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this? Have we not done that? Have we not said all this? And you say, I don't know you. You say, well, preacher, I'm still not. And this is the record, 1 John 5. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the Son of God. You can know. Won't you come this morning? You say, well, preacher, that's embarrassing. Don't be embarrassed. You're among friends. We ain't going to hold nothing against you. We're going to be tickled for you. We're not against you. We're for you. Amen. We're for you this morning. We're on your side. We'll help you. But you got to make sure. Won't you come? Father, I know I fail so much. I've tried to make it as simple as I know. Not try to be hurtful or harsh. But oh God, I'm asking you, the Holy Spirit, to draw on men, women, boys, and girls this morning. We might see the truth. For those among us this morning that are not saved, Lord, I pray that you will move them to come to you. For those who are not sure, I ask you, Lord, to speak to their hearts, draw them to a place, and give them assurance. For those who are sure, may you burn the fire of salvation way down inside. It'll burn bright and joy unspeakable, full of glory. Lord, these are things that you must do. I can't do. So, Lord, if you'll please speak this morning, I'll sure praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand.